Well, as we previewed earlier this morning, today is a very big day because right here on Palmetto Mornings, as we have done in the last couple of years, we are announcing for the first time this year's honorees that are part of the 2025 Freedom Walkway. And here to tell us a little bit more about the Freedom Walkway and what we can expect with this year's nominees, we have Bob Gorman, who's a baseball historian, as well as Janice Miller, who's with the City of Rock Hill, and she's part of the Freedom Walkway staff. And good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
The Freedom Walkway was established in 2016, and it honors Rock Hill's heroes, those who stood for justice and equality, with the Friendship Nine serving as inspiration. And Janice, we're going to have you take us back to 2016, okay, to the Friendship Nine, and how what they stood for and why we now have the Freedom Walkway and really where it's located.
Okay. Well, Freedom Walkway is located downtown Rock Hill. It's beside of the 139 apartments on East Main Street. It's a mural that depicts the Friendship Nine, the call for freedom. It's got a lot of artwork that is typical of the City of Rock Hill and the York County area, and celebrates the Catawba Indian Nation and what Rock Hill is.
It's a very photographic spot. Yes. A lot of folks love to take pictures there. It's full of bright colors, but it also helps to share the story of those who helped to shape Rock Hill,
right.
And that's why we honor those who stood for justice and equality. Right. So every year since 2016, mm-hmm, folks, what, they nominate people in the community to be considered and then take us from there?
Yes, they nominate people who have broken barriers to typically move for us from what we used to know to what we know now. So the integration of Winthrop University with the first female students, black students who attended there, with Buck George, who is Catawba Indian, who was the first non-white football player to play at Clemson University. So we've honored a lot of those people who have broken those barriers and have made significant input into how we have our culture today.
They broke barriers, and a lot was on the line for, mm-hmm, these individuals.
Yes,
I mean, they were,
exactly,
some of them were shunned. They lost, mm-hmm, employment. They lost,
right,
they lost a lot.
Right, exactly.
And that's one reason why, again, we want to take time to honor those who, you know, broke barriers and stood,
correct,
for justice and equality. Mm-hmm. Again, each year, folks in the community, they submit ideas or,
right,
names.
Right.
A committee kind of gets together. You, right, all look, you know, at the submissions,
mm-hmm,
and then what can you tell us in a typical year, how many people are honored, and what can you preview about this year's honorees?
Okay, typically we look at 3 to 5 nominations, mm-hmm, and the committee decides which ones have met the qualifications to be honored on the walkway.
Okay,
and so and then we do a lot of research. We have a great team of people who help find all the materials that we have, and a lot of times it's like scraping dirt to try and find like photographs of people, because, mm-hmm, a lot of this history is not recorded. So that's what we're focused on finding, is the history that we don't normally find. And so
which makes this even more important to have something like,
yes,
this, so folks can visually tell their story for generations to,
right,
come.
Right, exactly.
Janice, what can you tell us about the honorees that will make up the class of 2025 for the Freedom Walkway here in Rock Hill?
Okay. The honorees this year are Wally Cathcart, David Mobley, and Carl Long, who all are from the Rock Hill, York County area, and they all helped integrate the white baseball leagues in the area. So we're very proud to have that as our honorees this year.
So, Bob, we're going to swing it over to you, no, okay, pun intended. Bob Gorman is a baseball historian. So these three individuals, Bob, were part of the Negro Baseball League?
Yeah, they played in, yes, they played black ball, as we call it, during the 50s, when baseball was still basically segregated. Robinson came along in 47 and broke the color barrier. A lot of people think, well, that's it. You know, we're integrated. Well, that's not true. Mm-hmm. It took over a decade, finally, to have baseball fully integrated. And these three represent those individuals who broke those barriers.
I could imagine in larger cities, while it was still difficult, I would assume they probably had an easier time breaking in. But for smaller communities like Rock Hill and York County, I can imagine it was probably harder than in larger communities.
I think that's that's accurate. Yeah, it was pretty tough because it's so small. Everybody knows everybody, and becomes more intense, I think, as a result of that.
And so, what more can you tell us about these honorees? Because Wally will be joining us a little later this right. morning, so we're excited to catch up with him. But what more do you hope folks learn in the community about these three individuals?
Well, I'll start with David Mobley. He was from Lancaster and played semi-professional baseball in Lancaster and York County when he was growing up. He's a veteran of World War II and Battle of the Bulge. And while in the military, he played mixed race baseball, which was, I think, prepared him for what was to come. When he got out of the military, he played briefly with the Birmingham Black Barons, which was one of the premier Negro League teams in the area. And in the early 50s, he was playing pro ball, semi-pro ball around this area. In 1952, the Rock Hill Chiefs made a decision to try to integrate baseball in South Carolina. Prior to that, there had been no black players on any of the minor league teams throughout the state. They selected David because he was known to them. In early 52, he organized a semi-pro black team in York County, and so they were aware of him. And in late 1952, August 52, the Chiefs decided to try to integrate baseball by selecting him, signing him to their roster. It was very controversial. It was covered extensively in the Evening Herald at the time. And there were other teams in South Carolina, primarily Spartanburg and Greenville, that resisted it, were absolutely against it. In fact, they threatened to leave the Tri-State League, which was the league that Rock Hill belonged to, if they played a black player. The Chiefs went ahead anyway and signed him. He worked out with them, and the evening of August 26, he was supposed to play his first game. He suited up, was in the clubhouse, and then the Chiefs' ownership kind of backed down a little bit. They were nervous because of all the protests from the other teams in the Tri-State League about playing a black player. So he sat in the clubhouse, but there was a huge crowd, turned out that night, twice their general gate. And so he sat in the clubhouse, and the crowd got into it. Said, we want to see. We paid our money. We want to see him take the field. And they did. In the middle of the game, in the fifth inning, they brought him out. He was very successful. He was 1-for-2 at bat. He fielded a one play and did that well. But that was it. Because at that point, Spartanburg and Greenville said, we're leaving if you play him again. And the Chiefs basically folded at that point. But that one game opened the door. I consider him the Jackie Robinson of South Carolina because 2 years later, although he never played with the Chiefs again, minor leagues in South Carolina started integrating. And I think he was the catalyst that caused that to happen.
So that was David Mobley.
David Mobley.
And the other honoree?
Carl Long.
Okay.
Who grew up here in Rock Hill from the Boyd Hill neighborhood. And he was a baseball fan from the very beginning. He used to go out to Chiefs games and throw the ball with some of the players after the game. At the age of 16, he was so good, he left school and became a member of the Birmingham Black Barons. Played for them a couple of years, and he was scouted by the Pittsburgh Pirates, who signed him to a contract and to their minor league system. In 1956, he was sent to Kinston, North Carolina, and he was basically the same role that David Mobley played. He integrated that team. He was the first black player on that team. And he's written a book about his experiences, and it was tough playing in the Deep South, being a black player. Whenever they traveled, for example, he wrote about an incident where he's going to an out-of-town game, and when they pulled into town, there was a black man hanging that had been lynched. He was subject to all sorts of vilification, comments from the fans, hostility, threats. When he traveled with his teammates, he couldn't stay at the same place as they stayed. He couldn't eat in the same restaurants they ate in. He couldn't even use restrooms if they stopped into a filling station, which was typical of the black players at that time when they started integration. He ended up staying in Kinston afterwards, and can talk about a barrier breaker. He became the first black deputy sheriff in Lenoir County, then the first black detective on the Kinston Police Department. He was the first black man to arrest a white person. It used to be in a lot of these small towns, if you were a black police officer, you could not arrest white people. You would have to call a white colleague to come and make the arrest. So he made the first arrest of a white person in Kinston, which must have been pretty interesting. He was also one of the first commercial bus drivers. He drove for Trailways. And he ended up staying in Kinston.
Wow.
Yeah.
We often say people are built different. Mr. Long there, he just took on all kind of professions and all kind of jobs. That's really impressive. Well, that's why we have the Freedom Walkway, to learn these stories. We both spent many, many years here in Rock Hill, and I have not – I don't know anything about Mr. Mobley or Mr. Long. Now I'm so interested. I can't wait to hear and see more of their stories.
And with that, Janice, where can people learn more about the Freedom Walkway and see maybe more information about the three honorees, as well as people who have been honored in the past?
Of course. Well, they can go to the website, freedomwalkway.com, which will have all of the information about past nominees, about the walkway itself. You can learn more about everything that happens on the walkway. You can also register for the event. The public is invited to that. We just need to make sure that we have you there so we can have you counted. You can also go to the Freedom Walkway itself and take a look at the end. We do have an exhibit of the current honorees from last year. So we would love for everyone to come to downtown Rock Hill and take a look.
Janice, you mentioned an event. When is that event?
The event is on Thursday, November the 13th, beginning at 6 p.m., and we will be at the Gathering Space in downtown Rock Hill.
And once again, I understand the Freedom Walkway Committee, you all are partnering with the Applied Technology Center and the teacher over there, Andy Majors, and elaborate briefly about what you all are able to do with those students.
The students, as part of their curriculum, they form the videos that make up the Freedom Walkway nominations, and we show those videos during the event, and then afterwards we put them on the website so that they are viewable by everyone. So we're very, very proud to be working with them. They do a wonderful job with those.
They do a great job.
Well, and their teacher, Andy, teaches them so much about the broadcasting side and the storytelling side of these individuals. They are pictures and often videos that these young people have to find. So that's a big part of telling these individuals' stories. And then, of course, there are people put on the website. We air them on CN2. And then, of course, they're shared at the ceremony in November. Well, we're excited, to catch up with Mr. Cathcart. I said that correct, right?
Yes, that's correct.
A little later this morning, as he is one of the honorees that are part of the 2025 Freedom Walkway class. This year has a theme. It is honoring those from the Negro Baseball League. Bob Gorman is a baseball historian. Janice Miller is with the City of Rock Hill and the Freedom Walkway Committee. Thank you both so much for being here. We appreciate the history lesson.
Yeah, thank you.